Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you. Good bright and early, sunny morning here at the Tennessee Titans football complex.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very bright, very early. We just realized, Gentry, that Rex Road doesn't seem to have Joe Montana or Tom Brady on his top 20 quarterbacks of all time. So it's a hot start to this
Whatever.
Month.
They're both.
I know. Great. I was listening to that, and I was thinking to myself, Montana Young, as soon as y'all started talking about that. That would have been mine.
It's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good one.
Montana Young probably beats Favre Rogers.
I would say so. Yeah.
Because, Favre would be fourth, right?
I'd say so. Yeah.
So all due respect to you.
Remember, I'm saying with all due respect.
All due respect to reverse Robin Hood.
Yeah, thank you.
We all love volleyball.
Yes, we do. So, Gentry, it's no secret. The offense has struggled to this point in camp for the Titans. You had Brian Callahan, yelling at the offense walking off the field the other day. So, what do you make of the struggles to this point, and has it reached a point where there is, I guess, significant concern in your mind about the offensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, some of this stuff I think you can explain away as a rookie quarterback. They're throwing a lot at him, a lot of blitz packages and things that he's not really seeing pre-snap. I think some of that stuff you would expect, obviously, at this point. But you would also hope it would be getting better by now. I think that was a little alarming. I think the offense had a good practice on Saturday. So you would have hoped, if you're on that side of the ball, to kind of continue some of that momentum, and it just didn't happen. I mean, the defense dominated, and it'll be, interesting to see what it looks like today, because they're going to practice today and then immediately go to Tampa. And I think that's if you're still struggling this bad offensively against the Bucs and against the Falcons next week, if the preseason games are kind of a mess, I think you'd have to be concerned at that point. If for no other reason than you just want your rookie quarterback to have some confidence, right?
Is there any scenario in which you would entertain, okay, guys, let's huddle up. Maybe just why do we have to throw him out there? We're playing the long game. Is there any, issue that if you throw them out there right away, maybe we should pivot and just wait until it's the right time this season? Would you entertain that if you're the Titans?
As long as he's healthy, no, I wouldn't. I think you have to play Cam Ward, and I think they're committed to playing Cam Ward. I don't think that's really, on the table at this point, and for a lot of reasons. But I feel like you have a team full of players who want him to be the quarterback and have spent this offseason expecting him to be the quarterback and excited about what he can do. You need to allow him to learn and grow and make mistakes, and I think that's what's happening right now. Ideally, if you're the Titans, you could take it easy on him in practice, make him feel good. I mean, you could. Hugh Freeze talked about doing that at Auburn, for Arnold coming in for Oklahoma just to get his confidence up. So that does happen, but the Titans haven't done that. I mean, defensively, they've thrown a lot at him, and I think ideally you would like to see him learn from it and make some mistakes, overcome the adversity, and then feel more confident that way. They just haven't gotten there yet.
So on the offensive side, obviously we know Ridley is the one. I know it's the unofficial depth chart, and it means basically next to nothing as it relates to NFL teams here, but the six guys that they've come out with that are kind of like in first in line, and Bryce Oliver's in that, obviously the two fourth rounders are in it, Jefferson, Lockett, Ridley, it feels like to me that's probably going to be what their six looks like here. I know James Prochet has made some plays in camp at this point, but how do you view kind of exactly where you think they are with their wide receiver group right now and your most interesting kind of battles there for the rest of camp?
Yeah. Bryce Oliver, I think, is positioning himself well. He's having another good camp, and I know he had a good camp last year. So I think he's the guy that would be kind of on that bubble, I guess. You know, maybe a guy like Restrepo. That, to me, is probably a practice squad guy. I think they can probably get away with sneaking him onto the practice squad, maybe a couple others. But, you know, the depth chart, it doesn't mean anything at this point. But I think what they do, at least here, is I think you have people who are just watching practice, who see the rotations guys are in and who's first unit, second unit, and then it ends up looking like that on the depth chart. I think it's that way today. It doesn't mean it'll be that way a week from now and so on. But I do think it's an accurate gauge of where it stands at this moment.
So Brian Callahan, trends positive, right? I mean, that's we know this about him. He's, for the most part, not that there's a lot of coaches out there like, yeah, this sucks, that sucks. Maybe Vrabel did that sometimes. But, yeah, he trends positive. We know that he got upset, the other day, Gentry. Do you sense any sort of, I guess, like, frustration level with him? Do you expect, you know, maybe a little bit more frank talk about where they are at this point today when he talks?
You know, it was a little unsettling, just because you never look. Brian Callahan could go in there and do that every day and just rip guys in meetings, and we would never know it. But the reaction and what we saw at practice on Sunday, I've not seen from him. I can tell you that. I mean, it was an indication that, yeah, I do think there's a level of frustration here that maybe we haven't seen before from him. Now, do I think he's going to come in and express that publicly? Probably not. I mean, Brian Callahan is about as positive publicly as any coach could be. I mean, when you cover the Titans, if you notice one thing or see one player out there, it doesn't really matter who it is, and say, you know what, that was a good play, I'm going to write about that player, and you went and asked Brian Callahan about that player, he's going to have something nice to say. It doesn't matter who it is. So I think publicly that'll probably stay the same. But, you know, privately and just seeing how he was at the end of that practice, making guys do wind sprints. And, you know, and by the way, why did the defense have to do wind sprints?
Yeah.
That's the part I didn't understand. Defense had a great day. You know,
making the offense look bad.
Simmons is yelling. Cody Barton's yelling. The defense was feeling great. And then they had to get out there and run sprints.
Oh, man. Gentry, on the Tennessee front, you know, obviously you're looking at a quarterback competition for Josh Heupel that he's got to sort through in fall camp. You know, you got receivers at this point dropping like flies with Matthews dealing with something. You got Braylon Staley that's now dealing with something. What do you make of kind of where the offense is and your expectation level for the offense, particularly to begin this season, having no idea at this point who's going to take the opening snap at quarterback for Tennessee when they take on Syracuse?
I mean, yeah, the receivers are that's a concern. It was a concern anyway. But if you're not healthy there, you're starting to wonder what it's going to look like. And I think, you know, I mean, maybe we'll learn something about the quarterbacks here as we go if they stop blurring them out in the videos they put out. In terms
unbelievable.
Of yeah, I mean, goodness gracious. But I think there's probably a legitimate concern in that building right now about what things look like offensively. And there, when you know, there would be. You're bringing in a guy in Aguilar who has not been with your program. He doesn't have any rapport with the players. And you're probably asking him to be the guy. And if he's not the guy, now you got to scramble and go a direction you didn't want to go in the first place, or else you wouldn't have brought in Aguilar. So either way right now, it's I would imagine there's some real concern about where things are headed. Now, it doesn't mean he can't get where he needs to be in time for the first game, which I actually don't think is that challenging a game for Tennessee. But I feel like, you know, at this point, you'd like to have your receivers out there for sure.
Speaking of Tennessee, I'm just curious. I've seen some people talking about this morning again. You had a good column on the 88-year-old season ticket holder. Who was, I know, you know, promised a long time ago, like the price would stay the same, which of course we know what college sports is, but also it's wild to me that, like, he's got to, what, pay like three times his season ticket price or get bounced to the very top of Thompson Bowling. What's the reaction been like since that column published?
You know, I'll be honest. I've gotten about as much a reaction on that one as anything I've written in a while. That one has seemed to resonate with a lot of people. And I think it's because you could really – this is one of those rare instances in sports where I think you see both sides. You know, you can have a strong take on both sides here. From the standpoint of, I don't think what Tennessee did, the University of Tennessee did, was anything different than what most schools are doing right now, because you need more money to pay players to win games. So I think for the fan base wants that. They want to win games. And the AD is paid to win games. The coaches are paid to win games. That's why this sort of thing is happening. But yet when you drill down into one specific instance like this, that just makes you sad. A guy who has that kind of, you know, a guy who's been around the program that long, and you know, to be treated this way, no one likes that. It's a bad look, and I think both sides you could certainly make a case for. Now, in this specific instance, the interesting part to me was when you think about it, it's like, oh, okay, this is where college sports are headed, and we can be sad about this. The guy got these tickets by originally donating money,
right?
Like in the early 80s to build Thompson Bowling. So I know the prices have gone up, but it's still, college sports have still kind of always been here.
But you know what they need to do, honestly, real quick, is they need to grandfather in those people. And other schools have done that too, where it's like, okay, you got the people who've been 50 years, you have an exception. That's what they got to do. And Danny White should do that very publicly now.
Yeah, Tennessee was doing that, and now they've changed it. That's what created it. Like, they didn't raise the ticket prices 300%. They raised 300% on this guy and the others like him that had been paying a certain rate.
Yeah.
Yep. Gentry, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Well, I'll react to what Gentry had to say. Coming up next, take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Brian Callahan will be speaking later this hour. We will get that live for you here on the program. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar. Award-winning gourmet pizzas, handcrafted beverages, and you can get swept up in the thrill of live sports at Boomba's Pizza and Watch Bar, your go-to spot for good times. Boomba's has locations in Nashville, Spring Hill, and Murfreesboro, so get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. We will have Brian Callahan live for you here in about 20 minutes or so. We'll see what time he walks up
today. If he's on time.
See what time he walks up there today.
Be prompt today. People have been waiting for days to hear from you.
If he's still really mad, maybe he gets up there early. Maybe he's like, I got some things to say today. Let's get up here about 7:37.
I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. I'm sure it'll be a real spicy press conference today from him. You have the updated Cam Ward numbers and our quarterback formula discussion from just last year at Miami.
Yeah, so if you were listening earlier, if not, I'll quickly recap. This is like the Sean Payton formula that helped him want to select Patrick Mahomes, helped him select Bo Nix, and it's basically your percentage of your attempts that involve, you know, and then, you know, you divide the fumbles, picks, and sacks. So Mahomes, 8.1% in his Texas Tech career. So if you take Cam Ward, who was at 10.6 for his whole career, if you take him just last year, 454 attempts, 22 sacks, 3 fumbles, 7 picks, that is a 7.0%. So that's a very good number.
Very good.
That would be a number that Sean Payton would look at and say, okay, this guy, and again, to Sean Payton, those negative plays in his mind, the lower the percentage, the quicker your processing is to avoid such things. It's not perfect, but I think there's something to it.
I would love to see Hendon Hooker's number from his 2 years at Tennessee and what that would look like.
That's a good point.
I bet it's pretty good.
That's a great point. I might do that before the show ends.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah, and again, so there you go. Like there, and I'm not giving up on Hendon Hooker. I was disappointed in him last week. You know, Hendon Hooker, yeah, I think more than anything, because, again, you go back to the Baylor guys who had the ridiculous numbers in that same offense. I mean, like, Josh Heupel needs one of these guys to, like, be good in the NFL. And I thought Hendon Hooker was going to be that guy, be like, okay, we can stop talking about how the Briles system, you can't have a good NFL quarterback out of it. Hendon, because you're right. His numbers will be absurdly good, and he can't get on the field.
Well, maybe it's up to Joe Milton. You know, we're going to see Milton this weekend. Cowboys Rams in the preseason. So maybe he's the one.
He can throw it through a wall, man. I mean, he actually probably has decent numbers too, although he got sacked, I'd say, more than Hendon-Hooker did for sure.
Kuharsky says he has no idea what that number means based on your quick, poor explanation.
Okay. All right, that's fair. That's fair. As much as I'd like to rip Kuharsky, okay, I will again tell you, and then I'll do it fast. Sean Payton this is what he did. First of all, you haven't read this piece yet, Kuharsky. It's like the number one story at ESPN.com for the last 2 days, and you cover the NFL. Good job. Okay, so this is your total number of attempts, and then you take your sacks, your fumbles, not fumbles lost, your fumbles, your sacks, and your interceptions. You divide those negative plays into your attempts, and you come up with a percentage of negative plays. To Sean Payton, that tells you the lower the better, right? Obviously, the fewer sacks,
like
fewer
golf,
fumbles.
You want a low score.
Yeah, the lower percentage of your attempts that involve negative plays, the better. And to him, speaks to your processing. So, Cam Ward last year was 7.0%. Patrick Mahomes in his career, 8.1%, and that number convinced Sean Payton.
At Texas Tech. Yeah,
at Texas Tech, convinced Sean Payton he was going to take him at 11, he was going to be his next quarterback. Bo Nix at Oregon only was
2.3.
Which
is really an absurd number.
It's an absurd number. So if you don't get it now, Kuharsky, I'm struggling. I think that your grasp of the English language may be failing a little bit. Let me know.
You better watch out. You're going to get him fired up by the time Callahan walks in there. He'll be in a bad mood by the time Callahan walks up on the podium.
This is like Harbaugh taking the quarterback's shoulder. Rrr, hit him on the shoulder. Let's go, Kuharsky. Ask some tough ones, baby.
I need Glennon today. I need Glennon to come through for me today. Brian, your thoughts on Trey Avery signing in New England?
Would you play New England, or will you be avoiding Trey Avery?
You know, back in the day, nobody used to use Revis Island. Are you afraid of Avery Island out there? It's like, we are not throwing the ball in the direction of Trey Avery today. It will not happen.
All right, if he's only playing special teams, well, we're going to avoid that side of the field too.
Somebody said PK was slow processing speed.
By the way, I'm getting crap from Ed, man. I mean, Ed already has this terrible, like, oh, the NBA in the 80s was just as good. But Ed's just – he can't believe that I think that John Elway and Dan Marino are better quarterbacks than Joe Montana.
I'd say it's an interesting debate.
He said, what makes them the better? They had stronger arms? Do I need to, like, replay John Elway and Dan Marino, the careers for you?
One texter says, Hooker isn't good. If he never played for the Vols, you'd never mention him past the draft. Y'all wanted him to be good so bad, I feel for you. Dude's a bum. I mean, I will say, yes, if Hendon Hooker played for, like, Indiana, we probably would not be talking about
that
him.
Is
but we
true.
Do have, you know.
We're a sports show in the state of Tennessee.
So, yes, you're on to us.
Man.
We got him, the Tennessee quarterback we talk about.
I tell you what, this is a Colts fan too. So I mean, sorry, we'll try to talk more about Indiana sports for you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Quick Rex rant coming up next. Brian Callahan speaking here in just a few minutes. We'll have that live for you as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Row, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, real grown-up of you.
A lot of very handsome women. I'm not very good at assessing bodies with shirts on. The lower area is perfectly covered.
Am I a clown to you, Mike?
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
And what about Andre Dillard? What do you think about Andre Dillard?
Joe liked that one. It was a layup, Joe.
Thanks, Braves.
It is really unbelievable how good Ian is at this stuff. Like, it's crazy. Ian is the, I was going to say Michael Jordan, but I guess around you I'd have to say Isaiah Thomas.
There you go.
Dan Fouts, or you can't say Brady. Ian's the GOAT. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, that's good. The Fouts, the Isaiah, both great point guards.
Yeah.
All-time greats. So, first of all, I need to address this. Someone texted this when Gentry mentioned the blurred out quarterback. So apparently it was. It was Miles Kitzelman. I do have confirmation from inside the Tennessee program.
They're blurring out on their videos. Congratulations, Miles.
So
do we owe an apology to Josh Heupel?
Are we going to have a Miles Kitzelman pass and he threw the pass?
Ah.
And so they're trying to blur it out because they don't want.
Don't know.
Video out there of
their
tight end.
Totally honest with you. That makes me feel a lot better. A lot better. If he was the one throwing that ball. It's like,
blur out Aguilar.
Good. He underthrew one by 5 yards. Who was it? Oh, it was a tight end. That I can deal with.
Blur out Joey, guys. We can't let people know. This has to be fast. I'm just going to tell you real quick. And I could actually rant. I mean, Ed still hasn't responded to me because, I mean, it's just absurd that we would even, like, this is really a problem. Like, there's just no question that Joe Montana is a better quarterback than Dan Marino and John Elway because he has more rings. That's what we're doing. We're going to be that reductive. We're going to take it all the way down to just count up your rings for me. Well, Dan Marino has none. Is Dan Marino one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? Or does he not belong in the top million because he's never won a Super Bowl ring?
Who's better, Brad Johnson or Dan Marino?
Exactly. What, per Ed's logic, Brad Johnson. So I guess that's – but really what I was mad about today is there was this thing on Twitter about Brady.
It always comes back to him.
I know. But the whole thing was if you didn't think that Tom Brady – you know, had the say in not taking Shedeur Sanders, watch this, and it was like the guy they drafted in the sixth round.
Yeah.
But what makes me mad is all the B-roll, all the video was Tom Brady in his Raiders gear on the sideline looking like the guy who's in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah. I've seen some
and
of those
he's
videos.
A freaking – again, how are we letting him be a bad announcer for the NFL?
He got better.
Right, but he shouldn't be an announcer at all.
Right.
Yeah, he got better from bad to okay. So you're force-feeding this guy who's not that good. He's famous. He's famous. We love him. Yeah, everybody knows him. But you're force-feeding him, and he shouldn't even be allowed to announce for the NFL. It's infuriating.
He did have a lot of Raiders gear on the other day. It was head to toe Raiders gear.
Yeah, that's what he is. Yeah. I mean, I don't want anybody else who is running a team to be doing NFL broadcasts. It's absurd. I don't care if John Madden's like the greatest of all time, right? And even if you go back to like when he was coaching the Raiders, would we have wanted John Madden to do the TV? No, we would not have. Now he retired. You're fine. Well, Tom Brady's not retired. He's running the Raiders. How is he announcing? And he's not good.
Oh, man.
What is Adam Portland saying? Joe's hot fakes. It's like hot takes with clear design to make people angry with false information. That's enough out of you, Adam Portland.
Somebody said.
Dilfer, better than Marino.
Somebody said, Brad Johnson, probably at home drinking a cup of coffee, just caught a stray. Hey, man. Brad Johnson, Super Bowl winning quarterback. Nobody will ever be able to take that away from him. Ever.
That's right. Okay. Okay, so this is the new thing.
Long fuse.
Apparently Austin Price said this. I'm trying to get – so Tennessee claims because they have a policy of not showing players not cleared due to injury. Merklinger threw the pass, according to Austin Price.
Okay. Now I'm back to feeling bad again.
I guess you feel good about Joey Aguilar. He's going to be the starter.
I guess so.
So it's because –
whoever threw the pass, throw it better next time.
So Merklinger's banged up.
Kitzelman.
Right.
Yeah.
Kitzelman's banged up.
I believe Merklinger is completely healthy.
So the blur has nothing to do with, my God, all of it.
It's like
help me.
Zapruder film out there.
It's help me
Jeez,
out.
Jeez, what's going on? Probably been better off just leaving it alone. Just don't blur anything. Nobody would ever talk about it.
Yeah, like what is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I need to, yeah, the logic on that is mind-boggling. But it's made for quite a bunch of fun conversation this week.
So some people think your hatred of Tom Brady seems personal.
It's not personal at all. In fact, I like Tom Brady a lot.
Michigan.
No, that's the thing.
That's what it is.
I covered Tom Brady in college, and I've said this before. I'm like, hey, Lloyd Carr, have you noticed that he's really good now and, like, you should play him? Oh, no. Let's bring in Drew Henson. He's way more talented than Tom Brady. No, I was actually a supporter of Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady. I don't want him announcing. He's not very good, and he's running a team, and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't think that ring counting is the only thing you do when you assess great players. Again, Charles Barkley and Dan Marino suck. They don't belong in any kind of discussion. They have no rings. It's stupid.
Well, Brian Callahan's press conference coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. For those wondering, Paul Kuharsky is going to be back with us on a weekly basis now here on the program. So excited to have PK back in the fold with us. Normally will be with us on Wednesdays. He is not with us today. Obviously, the Titans are about to get out there and practice. So he is at the press conference. PK will be with us on Friday for an hour. Live from Tampa Bay, kind of reacting to joint practices between the Titans and the Bucs, and obviously looking ahead to the preseason game coming up this weekend. So we will have PK back in the fold with us. Normally on Wednesdays, it won't be today because the Titans are practicing, but he will be with us Friday on the show.
Yeah, and there may be other movement, you know, depending on the Titans' schedule before we get to the actual season.
Yep.
But for the most part, we'll zero in on Wednesday.
Now, we said we got the first Jim Wyatt britches report yesterday.
Yeah.
Decked out in all white, coming up on Saturday in the preseason game, which I think is their best look. So, first britches report of the season.
Well done.
That's when you know football's back, baby.
That's right.
The britches report.
So, we're still waiting on Callahan, right?
We are.
Well, Cosmo said, hey, are you aware that Montana beat both Elway and Marino in the Super Bowl? How could you say they were better QBs? What did I say, Robbie? I put it in all caps. Nick Foles beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Guess we know Nick Foles is better than Tom Brady. Thanks, Cosmo. Appreciate that. Thanks for your help.
Hey, I mean, still the greatest coach game in the NFL I think I've ever seen.
Now he's that one. Now he's asked me. No, I agree. Now he's asked me if I was even born and I watched Montana. Seriously, dude, you don't realize I'm an angry old man?
To answer your question, I was not born when Montana was in his heyday.
Yeah, like when you were born was right around the time he went to the Chiefs, and they were like, oh, now the Chiefs are going to win all these Super Bowls. What happened?
Hey, it's not as simple as just ring counting. Now, if you want to get specifically into Brady, pretty much any argument you want to put him in, he's going to be near the top.
Sure. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
I know.
The only thing I've said with Brady, like I've said that I believe the best quarterback I've seen play in the NFL is Peyton Manning. Yep. When he was at his absolute best, I think that's the height of quarterback playing the NFL. But he didn't do it nearly as long as Brady, so I can't.
Peyton Manning?
You know? Thank you, Beth. I mean, Peyton Manning had – and I give him credit for that Super Bowl with the Broncos. That's big time. But also, that was an incredible defense, right? Like, it was not the Manning carrying a team like it was when he was with the Colts.
No doubt. I mean, look, the bottom line is we know as great as Brady was and as great as a lot of these quarterbacks are, if you really look at the dynamics of NFL football and a football team, it's not just as simple as – well, quarterback, it's head-to-head quarterback out there. It's a big part of it.
Who won the game?
There's no doubt. It's a big part of it. But it's not just as simple as quarterback.
Now, again, I want winners.
Exactly. Do I think it's a coincidence that Brady won 7 Super Bowls? No, he's pretty darn good, right? Like, no, I mean, he's, you know, he was the elevator.
Not as good as Eli Manning, but he's pretty freaking good.
Well, apparently not.
Who beat him twice, by the way.
Apparently not. Let's head out to St. Thomas Sports Park. It looks like Brian Callahan has stepped up to the podium.
I love that Titans music.
It's kind of awesome.
Good morning. Really excited for today to get on the road, get a chance to go about 9 days on the road and go play against some other teams. Get some joint practices tomorrow at Tampa, get a chance to go to Atlanta. Really excited about the opportunity for our team to be on the road together. That's sort of the intent of the whole trip. Spend some time, get a chance to grow together, and then get to go play against some other teams. And one of the things that I'm really looking for is what do those teams say about us when we leave? You know, what do they say about how we play, the intensity we practice with? Those are all things that we get a chance to go make an imprint of what our team can be this year, and that's the starting point. Get a chance to go play against somebody else and show what we're all about and go compete, which would be really fun. And get a chance to do some things as a team on the road, some events together, things like that. It's something I'm really looking forward to. Can't wait.
What were those
practices look like, I guess, starting in Tampa, mm-hmm. not like these, but just working on separate fields, different units.
Yeah, it'll be just pretty similar to a practice here, you know, points of emphasis. On a one-day practice with Tampa will be a little bit different than a two-day practice with Atlanta. You get it, the 2 days give you some chances to break some things up, but you'll see all the major situations. You'll see some third down. You'll see red zone. You'll see two-minute. All the stuff that we work here every day, it'll be good to go against somebody else.
You had an uncharacteristic blow-up after the last practice. Mm-hmm. Was that just frustration mounting because of the offensive struggles or just something to give the offense a spark?
Yeah, I think that's probably accurate. Probably more so than anything else is a chance, is a teachable moment. There's adversity that you're going to face during the course of a season. For us, you know, we had 5 out of 6 days in pads. It was hard. Guys were tired, and it came down to the last period. And it really was just the last period of practice that I just wanted to see a different response in the moment. And it was a good chance to point it out and talk about what we need in the future. And I think just going through that moment allows you to grow from it. So it was a really, I think, teachable moment at the end of the day. You know, uncharacteristic. You know, you guys don't see me every day all the time, but you know, sometimes you gotta turn it up a little bit.
What kind of feedback did you get from that, Brian? The players said anything to you about that?
Yeah, I think all of them recognized what we were looking for, especially from an offensive execution perspective in that moment. And they know exactly what it is. And I don't think any of them were surprised by it. And I don't think anybody would have expected any less, to be honest, because we hold ourselves to a higher standard and we needed to perform better in the moment. And, you know, the good thing is it's August 4th or 5th or whatever day it was. And we got a lot of work still to go. And it was a good moment for us. I think it was necessary.
Excited to get Quandre back. And how does he kind of fit into your safety group?
Yeah, I'm really excited to have Quandre back. I'm a huge huge fan of his. I'd been with him in Detroit for 2 years, and obviously having him here this year, he's a pro's pro. He's an outstanding leader. He's a good football player, and so I think we're always open to adding good football players to our team, and he's certainly – we had an opportunity to bring him back, and he was interested in coming back, so he's here and ready to roll, and I'm thrilled that we have him here. He's – doesn't do – I mean, the safety rotation is still going to be what it is, but it's good for the competition. It's good for our football team.
We've seen the defense have the upper hand.
What's your plan with Cam in the first preseason?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to play. Our starters are going to play. We're going to play in all three preseason games. That's just like we did last year, similar process. The joint practices do change a little bit of how much, you know, you kind of gauge how physical the practice is and how much those guys might need, but they're going to play in every game, and we're going to let Cam play. So he's going to be on the field playing football. Hard to say how much at the moment. We'll work through that as we get to the practice tomorrow, but I would imagine for sure a series and maybe two in the first game with the starters. So he'll play.
I'll come back. Defenses, we've seen them have the upper hand a lot out here in these training camp practices. How eager are you to see them tested by a pretty potent Buccaneers offense with Mayfield and those receivers?
I think it's great. We get a chance to go against two, I think, really talented offensive teams when you look at their roster and their talent. And, you know, Tampa Bay was a playoff team last year. They won 10 games. They've done a really good job. So to go against Baker and that skill group they have there, which is incredibly talented, it's a good offensive line. It's going to be a great test for us. And that's why I look forward to these joint practices, is you get to measure against somebody else and you get to see how you respond against different competition in a different color jersey. Really excited about that, but certainly a stiff test for the defense, because that's a good operation there on offense.
One instance at the end of last practice.
Yeah.
How would you rate the offense so far this camp, and is it close to what you would like to see, or is it pretty far away?
No, I mean, we're still striving to get better and hit a certain mark. I think there's the growth that I think Cam's shown in the last couple of days from that particular process, I think, has been really, really encouraging. There's a particular way you have to play quarterback in the NFL, and I think he's figuring out how to balance that with how he's played in the past, and we're trying to mesh those styles together for him, and he's done a great job with it. So there's still growth to be had. We're not where we need to be, certainly, but that's the fun part of training camp, and I think as we stack some practices against some different defenses, I think it'll be fun to see where we're at. I feel good about our trajectory, and I feel good about the process that we have going, and we got to keep pushing to perform.
As you get ready for this preseason. If you look back at last year's preseason games in terms of, like you talked about, playing starters and everything else, and things that you say, okay, I want to change this from, you know, from maybe my first year.
I mean, I liked how we went about the process in the preseason last year. You know, I felt like we were ready to play when the opening game. You know, I think that's the key, is your team in the right place to go play football for real. And, you know, we came out pretty hot in the first part of that Chicago game, and I felt like we were ready to go play. And so the process there, you know, I think is the right one to play, and I think playing is important, and I wouldn't change much. We might play a little bit more potentially on offense just because we have a young quarterback that needs to see a little bit of action. So we feel like he's really ready to roll, and he's got enough experience that we, potentially week one isn't an eye-opener, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I feel good about how we did it last year. It's going to be pretty similar, but we're still going to play in the preseason.
What success is, or what success looks like in the preseason when you're trying to look at it so much?
Yeah, it's hard because it's not real, you know. And what I mean by that is your starters may be out there against the other team's twos. You're not going to see their fastballs. They're not going to see their game plan. All of those things lead to a hard gauge. It's still a football game. It's not practice, but it's also not a real football game either when it comes to game plans and pressure packages and all that stuff. So what you're looking for is guys to execute the techniques and the system at its core. So it's really more about what we're doing and how we do it. That's what you look for, and you look for us executing that at a high level, regardless of, again, of who you're playing against or what's out there. You want that to look like you have a, you know, you're executing things well the way you want them executed. Again, the score is sort of irrelevant to me. It's more about watching guys play and seeing them play real football and see who shows up.
Brian, you brought in Mike McCoy. Has he been everything that you expected and hoped for, bringing him to the staff?
Yeah, Mike's been fantastic. Such a wealth of experience in the league, experience as a head coach, experience as a coordinator, really good person, sounding board for me, someone to lean on. He's great. He's just a great person on top of it. I love being around him. I think everybody else does too. He loves football. And you know, truthfully, for a guy that's had the experiences that he's had and this, you know, been a head coach and all those things, and for him to come in the role he's in with the humility to take on the role and just want to help, he just loves football and wants to be around and wants to lend a helping hand wherever he can help us at the end of the day. So love Mike. Love having him here. I think he's been an asset for us so far.
Against your own team, day in and day out there, obviously hungry to go up against another team. What's the conversation you have going down there just to make sure, you know, it doesn't get too high, too heated out there?
Well, you know, the league doesn't want, you know, fights at joint practices. That's pretty clear. You know, we have pretty straightforward rules in place, and I won't share those necessarily exactly what they are, but we shouldn't have any of those problems. I want guys to compete. You know, you want to sort of live on that edge a bit, but at the end of the day, if it boils over in anything else, it's illegal. You can't do it in a game. You shouldn't do it in practice. I hope it's spirited. I hope it's competitive, but there's a line that you can't cross. And I think both me and Coach Bowles and their team are all on the same page as we're trying to get together, get some great work, and not have anything silly happen in the process.
Who's out of practice today, and do you have anybody that won't practice against the Bucs?
We'll see about the Bucs. Today, the same couple guys are out. I'll just make sure I have it accurate. Hance is still returning. He's getting better, but he'll be out today. Brewer, he's getting better. He'll be out today. Carlos Watkins will be out today. Kevin Winston will be out today. And then Quandre will be out here, but we'll manage Quandre. You know, he hasn't practiced as much as these guys have, so he'll be out and doing some things, but he probably won't participate in the full practice at the moment. Sweat should be out here. Okay. He should be good to go.
Thanks, Coach.
All good?
Thank you.
There you go. That's Brian Callahan live from Titans practice. A couple interesting tidbits that he shared there. We will get into those coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.